That's right. It's the Sixers-Scully kind of night, Mike. And as Devon Givens, who's producing the show, can attest to this. Rocking it out, not only because Sixers at the top of the hour hosting the Miami Heat, but because Joel Embiid, both on and maybe even more importantly, the heroics off the court, has taken over as far as the buzz, the prime buzz in this city. Number one, what it was, Carson Wentz after that 3-0 start. But beyond just the two individuals going head-to-head for our competition as far as the attention that we pay to them, three things that kind of popped out. We'll do our best to jam them in here for this next hour. But three things that popped out, not only from the game yesterday, but continued reaction to it. First and foremost, there is no taking it easy. There is no empathy. There is no I understand. When you're talking about professional football and you're talking about the business that is professional football and you're talking about this specific fan base and the expectations that we have, and it's not, oh yeah, you know, we want a Super Bowl every year. I'm saying basic expectations. Okay, part of the fan team contract is that for the most part, you spend money, you go down, you watch them, you listen to them, and you get basics back. You know, the opportunity to get some concessions, maybe buy some shirts. You get a nice environment, safe environment to watch a game. And, oh, by the way, guys hit a free throw every now and again or catch a football every now and again. You know, the basics that you get back in return. We can't even get that. Now, that's something that a team needs to rely on. So I look at what's going on with Nelson Agholor, and I can separate the two. And I can say, yeah, okay, he's coming out, and he's, as Mike said earlier, bearing his soul to fans and media alike. And I can see and recognize that and appreciate that as a human being and say, I have zero issue with that. And, you know, today's day and age, it's commendable for anybody to bear their soul in front of the media if you're a celebrity, if you're a person of note, which he is. So as a human being, I can recognize and appreciate all that. Now, as a business commodity, as somebody who's playing in the high stakes of the NFL, I can look at that also and say, so what? I can look at that also and say, you still need to sit. There's no other solution here. It's not about cutting him because they won't. He's not going to be cut right now. At the end of the year, maybe you deal with that. Maybe they do eat it and they realize, hopefully, if they're watching, they realize there's nothing to move forward with. But right now, the only solution is that he sits. And this isn't about, hey, and I'm listening to this. It's all day it's happening. It's driving me nuts. You need to sit him for a couple of games. Sit him for a couple of snaps. Sit him for a couple of possessions. Sit him for a couple of quarters. Maybe sit him for a week. So he can get back to what? He stinks. And again, we can separate. We can see a human being and say, all right, I get it. I feel sorry. I can empathize with a human being. And we can look at what he does professionally and say, maybe this ain't for you. Especially where you are in the depth chart. Maybe that's not for you. Get back to what? What is it that you're trying to get back to? What is it that you're sitting away from and watching develop so that you can get readjusted to? Everybody likes to bring up Chuck Knobloch. So do I. I think it's a great analogy here. He was at least able to throw the ball from second to first. Macklin has yet to do that. Macklin. My goodness. I was going on the next thing with the Macklin comparison. I jumped the gun. Agholor has yet to do that. And what's he done? Now, you look at college. It's enough to be drafted. It's enough to be looked at. It's enough to be scouted. It's enough to be recognized as, at the time, a top talent coming out of the draft. Maybe not a number one type receiver first round talent, but you can point the finger at Chip Kelly on that one, too. He bears a lot of the blame. And it does have some comparison with Jeremy Maclin and whether or not he can live up to that immediate hype. Same speed, same body type. Can run routes, crisp. Well, all that didn't matter. Still doesn't matter. And I don't know what people need to see to sit back and think, well, I'm going to be patient and give him a week. Or let's bench him for a half because that'll motivate him. And then you listen to what he has to say, and the reaction, again, is so surface. It's so immediate. And I don't understand that as well. This is somebody who is clearly not mentally in the game right now. and I look at him as a liability on the field at this point. You've got a head coach, you've got a referee yelling at him to move up an inch. An inch. That's all it, just an inch. You want to criticize Doug Peterson for not calling the timeout? Okay. At the same time, I don't want to absolve this young man of that mistake. And it's not, hey, it's one mistake. No, it's how he made the mistake. It's why he made the mistake. It's what he had to say about the mistake following the game, which is he's mentally shot. So why would you want to have somebody out there who's not mentally in it? 100% bought in. He's a liability to himself, to his teammates, to the play calling, everything. And there's no easy fix. There's no, oh, let's get back to what he... Get back to what? Get back to what? He never established a resume. He was never able to develop any type of consistency. And I'm not saying, hey, cut him right now. That's just not feasible. That's not a realistic solution. And nobody's going to trade him. Nobody is going to trade anything for him. So stop with that scenario. If that happens, just please, enough. They're not trading him. They may cut him. They may eat the dead cap and just say it's worth it. Or they may just say, well, at 2.5, I believe it is to keep him, why not just bury him on the roster? Which is what you need to do. Now, here's the thing. It's not about Paul Turner, all right? We don't need the Turner truthers popping up. It's not about Treggs. It's not about anybody. It's not about who you're replacing Aguilar with. It's simply you need to get him off the field. And that's two, which is I get that a lot of us, and I say us because I'm waving my hand right now, are piling on Nelson Aguilar for on-the-field stuff, for his mentality right now moving on, and rightfully so. He deserves a lot of this. But Doug Peterson right now is at a crossroads. Doug Peterson really can put his foot down and make a tough decision. From a human being standpoint, a very difficult decision, but from a business standpoint, a very simple, easy one. In which you don't balance the two, you don't weigh the two, you just say what we need to do to move forward, become a better football team, and that is bench Nelson Aguilar. Make him inactive. He is not... There's nothing right now that's going to help Doug Peterson, that's going to help Doug Peterson develop Carson Wentz by having Nelson Aguilar on the field. It's just not going to work. So he needs to put his foot down right now and make that tough decision and say, we're not going to cut him. Still part of the team, but we're moving on right now this year, this season. And this stuff happens. It may not be as prevalent and as extreme as guys get popped on the inactive list every week. But you see roles reduced, you see guys get benched, and you see people come in and play well. And I don't know if it's the age of Paul Turner that's about to start. I don't know if Treggs is about to take over or if it's just going to get easier for Zach Ertz. Whatever the case may be, it's not about who you replace Nelson Aguilar with. It's Doug Peterson is doing you an injustice. He's doing you a disservice if he goes out and starts Nelson Aguilar on the field or if he even plays Nelson Aguilar on the field Monday night against the Packers. It's something that you cannot accept as a fan. I will not let you until 7 o'clock when I'm off the air accept that reality. You cannot. It's not something that is conducive to growth, to success, to the betterment of the team and Carson Wentz. That's all you should care about right now is Carson Wentz and whoever's sticking around on the defense. I can't tell you if they're going to pay for Benny Logan or not. I don't know that answer. They don't probably as well right now until the market works out and you see who they draft and other things as far as who else they have targeted in other positions to re-sign. So I can't tell you the future of somebody like Benny Logan. And Fletcher Cox is going to be around for a little bit. You know, Zach Ertz is going to be here. We imagine Jordan Matthews. Who knows how that's going to play out? This isn't about anybody else right now moving forward. Which is bringing me to number three. Eitan Shander to the top of the hour. 610-632-0975. Injuries. Penalties. Drops. Miscommunication, which is on the field and execution, and bad play calling at really bad times. All of that is why this team won't get anywhere near the postseason, is why the season is effectively over. Now, that doesn't mean that I'm not going to watch. It doesn't mean that you're not. We can separate the two there as well, right? I don't need to explain that. Maybe I should, but I shouldn't have to. They're still going to be go down on the lake. They're still going to be fired up to watch a football game. There's still going to be a level of excitement and emotion attached to it. But you want to look at this thing objectively as far as the team is concerned and as far as the rest of the season is concerned. They simply can't get out of their own way. They can't stop making mistakes. They can't stop holding. They can't stop with the DPI. They can't stop with false starts. They can't stop dropping the football. It's just one mistake after another. Cue the Benny Hill music. This team has nothing right now in the future for the postseason. And I'm willing to just sign off and write off on it personally and say anything that I get from this is a bonus. You want to go out, you want to beat the Giants, you want to go out and beat the Bengals, the Ravens, whoever it may be, it's a bonus. Not to say they're going to lose out, but the reality of any postseason is done. I hate to disagree with my colleague, and I use that term, he uses that term loosely, I'm sure, with Mike, but come on. And I know a lot of other people think that there's a sense of optimism because it was the Seahawks. And yet Russell Wilson is on another planet right now. But again, much like it doesn't have anything to do with replacing Aguilar and who you replace him with, just moving on, it doesn't matter that they lost last week to the Seahawks. It's how they continue to lose games. Being in games. And that's the biggest fool's gold, isn't it? That they're actually in these games. All right, Ed has been patiently waiting. Ed, thanks for your patience, man.
Hey, no problem, Anton. The thing that kind of concerns me is Carson Wentz. Like, really, the offense has been anemic since the Pittsburgh game. And even that game was, you know, flourished with some good defense and I think a run back as well. I mean, they're not scoring. And in NFL, you got to score. And they have not had the only game they scored 30 points this year was against Pittsburgh. And I just look at Wentz.
Okay, but to be fair, think about how many times they've scored over 20 points. I think every other game except.
Yeah, I mean, they've been pretty consistent getting over 20, but I don't think that wins you a lot in the NFL.
I don't know. I would disagree. I would imagine.
No. Here, my point being touchdowns, offensive touchdowns.
Yeah, and the red zone, I'll agree with you, the red zone needs to be better.
A lot better. And you know what? I just see him.
And here's the thing. I think we can break this down real quick and say, and I'm asking you, I'm not talking, I'm asking, how much of it is on one side you really are concerned about his mechanics, his vision, and his ability to kind of adjust to the NFL versus he's throwing a slop?
Man, I don't know. Like, I think just the contrast, yes, and granted, Russell Wilson is looking very good at the moment. And but just seeing him play at the top of his game compared to Carson, man, it was just like a dramatic.
You're never going to get that from a rookie. Russell Wilson is a polished future Hall of Famer. I mean, this guy is doing things with his feet and his arm on the same play that we don't see anybody do. Now, again, I mean, he has a flaw or two, just like everybody, but he's special, man. He's special.
No, I know. But, well, I mean, I think we all kind of thought Carson, and I guess we still do, that he has the potential to be special. But
I think you can see it with some throws. And you know what, Ed? There's nothing wrong with being concerned about the pick to Chancellor. There's nothing wrong with being concerned about him not reacting better to pressure and, you know, staring down receivers at times. In some cases, it was a turnover. You can look at some things. He's not perfect by any means, and he's got a lot to grow in, but the DNA is there, and appreciate the call, man. The DNA is there. You can see building blocks. The only positive, here's the thing, right? If I were to stand next to somebody who's, you know, uglier than me, and, you know, it's difficult to find that, right? But if I were, that's going to make me look better. So you stand Nelson Aguilar next to DGB, and Aguilar looks like the prom queen because DGB is a nightmare. So Aguilar does have one or two redeeming qualities. It's just you compare him to the other guys on the team, specifically DGB, and it just makes him look that much better. Now, the guy who runs routes, Dorrell Green Beckham, is not running routes. So I don't know what the hell he's doing out there, but Aguilar's running routes. It's just comical to this point. I mean, it's like a script that you would have to write where he's going out there and creates just this huge, huge uproar of this bonehead play where you've got not only the coach, but the referee is yelling at him, move up. And he's just blacked out. Like he's just not even there. And then with the next drive, he has a huge drop. It's like you couldn't even write this script. And then after a while, you realize that's actually happening. You're just waiting for it, the inevitability of another drop. And then you go out there and it happens and you get upset and then you start to laugh. But I don't think you feel empathy. Derek is next up with Eitan Chandler on the Fanatic. Dave, what's up?
What's going on, Eitan?
I'm all right. You?
Man, recovering. So listen, obviously we all know Aguilar stuff. Like, I mean, that's really not up for debate right now. But when I look at that play yesterday, especially with him not standing up on the line, I think Doug Peterson's lack of timeout was way more egregious than him not being on the line. I mean, obviously he should know the play. Obviously he had a brain fart. I'm not excusing him from it, and we can beat it, you know, till it's dead. But at the end of the day, if you're sitting there and you're screaming and you're screaming and you're screaming, and you actually think that you have a good play set up to make a big play here, you call a timeout. I mean, it happens throughout the league all the time. If there's 12 men on the field, you don't sit there and say, okay, let's see if we can get away with it. You call a timeout and make sure you get the right play done. Like, you can't just sit there and watch it, see it happening before your eyes, and then as the ball hikes, turn around and walk away like, oh, I can't watch what's about to happen.
Listen, I can't kill you. I can't kill you for feeling that way at all. I just don't personally feel that way. And here's why. There's a variable of if you have 12 men on the field or if you're an illegal shift, something along those lines, you don't have a referee that's aiding you as well, which is like, you know, hey, you're doing something wrong. In this case, I don't know. And again, I don't know, Derek, but maybe Peterson, clearly he could see the referee as well, is thinking,
right,
you know, this guy can't be this out of it, right? I mean, he can't be that blacked out that he's not only going to ignore me, but he's also going to ignore the official. And then
but
it's, you know, it's too late.
But he's sitting there watching him not move.
It's the lesser of two evils for me. I look at that and think to myself, how often do you have a head coach and a referee yelling at you point blank, move up an inch, you ignore it, and then that's a big play? And again, I can't fight you on this. I just don't look at this same hierarchy.
No, I get it. And that kind of just segues into my next comment. I mean, at this point, everyone in the Delaware Valley knows that Aguilar sucks. So I'm not going to keep on beating him to a pulp with this. If he gets on the field, now it's just on Doug Peterson. Like, I'm not going to, like, talking about Aguilar being bad is starting to be like a running sitcom that's no longer funny anymore. Like, if you look at certain places like New
like
England,
Homeboys from Outer Space?
Yeah, exactly. Perfect example. Like, you know, you see it one time, you laugh begrudgingly, and then it's like, all right, do I really need to keep on seeing this to know that it's horrible? Like, you can't keep on putting this guy out here just to be the laughing stock of Philadelphia.
Right.
Like, this wouldn't happen in New England. And obviously, you know, I'm not saying that we're the Patriots, but at some point you have to start having the mindset of a winning organization. And you can't keep on allowing this to happen. I don't think Paul Turner is going to be the savior. I don't think the Treggs is going to be the savior. But I think that you have to put them out there to set the example that this is not acceptable.
Great phone call, Derek. I really appreciate it, man. Sorry about that. That's a great call. And I think that's – I'm going to echo that sentiment. And say that you know, definitely you're the one who hits it. I'll just repeat it, regurgitate it, which is successful franchises recognize mistakes early. Think about that. The successful businesses, the successful franchises in sports, the ones that have some sort of feeder system or just the hiring process, right? Every time somebody at a really high level Fortune 500 company, not every single hire hits. Not every single draft hits. Not every single hire as far as a coach or coordinator or free agent hits. But the successful organizations, and to Derek's point here, it's a really good one. The successful organizations in sports as well recognize mistakes early and they move away from them. They do everything they can to distance themselves from mistakes as fast and as early on as they can recognize from one. And that's key right now because I think we're all in agreement, which is it's just an insult if you put him back out there. If Monday night he's on the field and he's not inactive. Now, we have that cut from Doug Peterson on why he did not call the timeout. I don't expect to be, you know, I don't expect anybody to be convinced by Doug, but this is what he had to say.
In my mind at that point, it was 3rd and 6, and I guess the easiest thing might have been, yeah, to call the timeout. But, you know, I just didn't at that time, just didn't feel like where we were at the time, and didn't want to just save the timeout, so I just didn't call it.
He wants to save the timeout, and the problem is that you look at when he did call the final timeout, and the clock management, the time management, at the very least at the end of the first half, was nothing really to write home about. So it's not like he really pulled himself out and thought to himself, well, at the end you could see blueprint as far as why I kept it and why I used it. It just didn't work. You'd like to think that between the referee and the head coach yelling at you, and the head coach being part of that, he'd think, all right, at some point he's going to look over and say, all right, you're right, I got to move up. But I get that people are already looking at this and thinking, how much more can I come down on him? Well, it isn't anymore about Aguilar so much as it is right now moving forward, and today is the first day that we need to address this. What happens with him? What's the solution with him? Because there are a lot of people out there that want him cut yesterday. That's not going to happen. But that doesn't mean that you can't kind of get met halfway. It doesn't mean that you can't kind of get appeased in the sense of him being inactive and the team moving on. And if you want to empathize and if you want to look at this and think, you know, I'm not willing to give up. He's talented. I don't know anything about Tregs. I don't know anything about Turner. Just go back to what Nelson said. Go back to the comments. That's somebody who is not mentally in it right now. That's somebody who is not mentally fully in the capacity of playing the game 100%. And that becomes dangerous. That becomes a liability. That's something that you cannot have on the field moving forward. Yeah, we're talking about the growth of the quarterback, but we're also talking about keeping guys safe, and we're also talking about execution, and we're also talking about building consistency of an offense. And if you have somebody that doesn't even have the awareness of moving up an inch because he's just so focused on catching the football, it's going to detract. It's going to be a problem. There's an easy solution. If you're Doug Peterson, you sit him. It's an injustice if he's on the field Monday night. 610-632-0975, your phone number. We've got the Sixers hosting the Heat tonight at 7 on the Fanatic. There's no minute restriction for Jahlil Okafor. Embiid expected to play about 24 minutes. 6 o'clock hour brought to you by CarSense, where their certified used cars look like new and are guaranteed even better. With a lifetime engine guarantee, find out more at CarSense.com. It's car sensational. This football Monday brought to you by Temple's Fox School of Business, home to the nation's number one online MBA. Get me on Twitter, best time during the break, at Shander Show. Here till 7 on 97.5 The Fanatic. All right, hey guys, another solid weekend of football. And I know some of us got in on the action. If you've been listening to me, hopefully you already know. You know what I mean? MyBookie.net. If you had the winners this past Sunday and went to MyBookie, you're sitting pretty with some big wins. It feels good to know you put your picks to good use. You listened to our advice. You took home some winnings at MyBookie. And we still have a game tonight. Houston at Oakland to get in on the action. MyBookie is the industry-leading website for all your football action. We've been telling you that every single day. College and the NFL, there's no need to go anywhere else. MyBookie is the place. If you want to put your football knowledge to use and take home some huge, gigantic, big wins, you need to go to MyBookie. If you've never placed your picks before but want to get in on the action, sign up at MyBookie. It's fast, easy, and they have the best service. It's literally the easiest thing you'll do today. Go to MyBookie, make your picks, and get ready to take home some big winnings. Call them at 1-844-900-2387, 844-900-2387, or go online, MyBookie, to open an account. Place your picks and win. Use promo code FANATIC. That's promo code FANATIC. Sign up and start winning today at MyBookie.
Football Mondays on the Fanatic is brought to you by Temple's Fox School of Business, home to the nation's number one online MBA. This is Philadelphia's football station, 97.5 The Fanatic.
Do you and your friends love bubble hockey? Well, Coors Light is bringing the fun and excitement of bubble hockey to South Jersey. Join the Fanatic as we bring out the Coors Light Bubble Hockey Game. If you can make it to the finals, you and a friend could be going to watch the Flyers take on Pittsburgh in the Coors Light NHL Stadium Series. That's right, go watch the Flyers play on an outdoor rink. Go to 975thefanatic.com and click on the Coors Light Bubble Hockey link to find out where we'll be. Brought to you by Coors Light.
Come out to Kid Rifts in Runnymede this Friday for the next Coors Light Bubble Hockey Qualifier. This is your chance to win hockey tickets and play your way to Pittsburgh to watch the Flyers take on the Penguins in the Coors Light Stadium Series. Get there early to register for your chance to play starting at 1 p.m. and enjoy $2 Coors Light drafts and $2.50 Coors Lights. All brought to you by Coors Light. Whatever your mountain, climb on. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado. Great beer, great responsibility.
Honda presents ways to make your holidays even more magical. One, stop into the Happy Honda Days sales event and get a great deal on a new Honda, KBB.com's 2016 best value brand. Or two, delivering all your gifts by drone this year.
Here comes your present, honey.
Surprise!
Oh, boy. Well, with the first option, you get loads of festive features like Bluetooth streaming audio and standard review camera. Or we can offer you a third option. Deck out your house with industrial-powered holiday lights.
Here goes nothing.
It's so beautiful. Buzzkill, Dad.
There's nothing quite as magical as getting great deals on a Honda at the Happy Honda Days sales event. So hurry into your Honda dealer now.
Hurry to your local Delaware Valley Honda dealer for great deals on all models.
Based on 2016 brand image awards from KBB.com's best value brand, visit KBB.com for more information. See dealer for financing details.
This Black Friday weekend, Liberty Vapor invites you to stop by one of their four area locations and learn why so many people are switching to vaping as an alternative to smoking. All weekend long, Liberty Vapor has big savings on the area's highest quality e-liquids and industry-best vaping equipment. Technology's caught up to a bad habit, so stop by Liberty Vapor to find out if vaping is right for you. For locations or to buy online, visit libertyvapor.net. And for new products and offers, follow Liberty Vapor on Instagram.
This is Jason Martinez for Conkerville Nissan, and right now, I'm driving the 2016 Nissan Murano.
Dad, what am I getting? My first car from Conkerville Nissan.
Maybe when you're not 8 years old, Evan?
You don't need to listen to him, Evan. You're the star.
Oh, Fletcher Cox, this new car on you?
Dad, if it wasn't for me, you wouldn't even have a car.
Unbelievable. That's right. This is Jason Martinez, and if you or your 8-year-old son are looking for a great deal on a new Nissan, you got to get to Conkerville Nissan. Online at 202Nissan.com.
O'Reilly. It's a Black Friday giveaway at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Be one of the first 25 customers to make a purchase and receive a free limited edition Power Torque Fat Handle Bottle Opener. Plus, check out our 3-day sale where you'll find sale prices on performance and appearance chemicals, tools, motor oil, and more. Only at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Black Friday savings at the Home Depot mean you save on the brands you and the people on your gift list know. Get your choice of a Milwaukee, Ridgid, or Makita combo kit for just $99. Very powerful way to make someone very happy. Black Friday savings on select combo kits, now just $99. Only at the number one retailer of power tools and accessories, the Home Depot. More save, more do it. Based on TrackLine data, July 2013, June 2016, while supplies last.
Are you ready for this?
Tomorrow, TV's hottest body painting competition is back.
I want this so bad.
Rebecca Romijn and RuPaul return with a brand new season of Skin Wars.
I'm here to win this.
The art has never been better.
I'm in love with this piece.
The competition...
How the hell did you make it this far?
...has never been more fierce.
How dare you disgrace this competition? Get out.
Skin Wars premieres tomorrow, 10, 9 Central, only on GSN.
Like a force of nature, the season of Audi sales event at Audi Willow Grove has arrived, which means winter is here, and there's never been a better time to get into this. With available Quattro all-wheel drive to enjoy all of this. Visit Audi Willow Grove today during the season of Audi sales event for special lease and finance offers on select new models, including Audi A3, A6, Q3, and Q5. Visit them 24/7 at AudiWillowGrove.com or at 611 in the Pennsylvania Turnpike. Audi Willow Grove, a Holman automotive dealership where our name means a great deal.
For those times your car becomes the official team bus.
Okay, everybody in?
While you go from chauffeur to coach to cheerleader.
Yeah, way to go!
And back. Then head home, hoping those new memories last longer than the smell of their gear.
Oh, man!
Wherever your young athlete's journey takes you, get there with AAA. Roadside assistance, auto repair, discounts, and more.
This is Claude Giroux of the Philadelphia Flyers. Every young athlete has a journey. AAA is there every step of the way. Start your journey at AAA.com/journey.
You got the rookie of the year at the top of the hour. It's amazing what this guy's doing on a minute's restriction. Forget just comparable to the other bigs and other rookies, just in general. what Joel Embiid is doing. He is now the top attraction in the city. But the Eagles, of course, coming off a tough, somewhat close loss to the Seahawks, but more the same, at least on the road, the MO, which is play somewhat decent football at times, but for the most part, just shoot yourself in the foot and find a way to create new ways, I should say, innovative ways to make a mistake or to negate a drive, to extend a drive. We've just seen the same script week in and week out on the road, and I don't know how anybody thinks that this team could put together something that resembles anything like a win streak. And I know they've been successful at home, but now you're starting to see some injuries. You're starting to see guys. Yeah, I get it. Darren Sproles is going to play this weekend with a cracked rib. You think he's not a couple of pops away from missing some time? Joe is next up on the Fanatic with Eitan Shander. Joe. Who's going to bang on you there?
Thanks. I'm not Joe. I had you on mute for a second. I got a problem with the doomsday scenario here. I'm not sitting here thinking that we're going to make the playoffs or make a real run, and I'm also not sitting here, you know, being an apologist for everything that's happening at this point. But I think that we have a tendency, as Philadelphia fans, to kind of lose sight of the competitiveness of the pro sports that we have here. I mean, you look at this season so far. Yesterday and the Redskins game were the two games this season that we looked outclassed. You take the last 6 minutes of the Dallas game out of it, and yeah, I agree, that wasn't a good one either. But the ball bounces a couple of different ways, and we're feeling very differently about this season.
Yeah, but so, what's to say that the ball's going to automatically start bouncing the other way? A lot of times what you have in the NFL is you have one team that gets all the breaks going one way, and that's deep into the playoffs, and then you get another team that you look, you know, like a two-win team, and they didn't get any breaks.
Absolutely, and that would be the Cowboys this year and you know, the Patriots in other years and things like that. The issue with this team, and that everybody's talking about, is talent. We don't have the talent to be a 9-1 team right now. We did, period. We don't. So, you know, I see us this year as like the Phillip Rivers Chargers teams of the last 4 to 6 years of being in it in the fourth quarter, maybe you squeak into the playoffs at 8-8, 9-7, or 7-9 in some scenario. The challenge this year is that the NFC East is outperforming what everybody thought it was going to, but the benefit is that all the other divisions are. So,
yeah, but I don't even think that this is a good football team if the division, I mean, they're maybe better record-wise by default if this division was a nightmare, but they're still not that good of a football. Here's what I look at. It's not so much, you know, doom and gloom, revert back, but I feel like right now moving forward, Mike, it's so bad with the receivers. You've got guys now that are injured in key positions. It's getting worse. This team is now trending down as opposed to trending up.
Yeah, I hear you. The receiving core was trash from the beginning of the season. We knew it. Green Beckham we gave up a bag of balls to get him on a whim that maybe he comes out and just lets his physical ability take over.
Yeah, I'll still make the trade.
But yeah, absolutely. It was a good deal. But I just truly feel like, you know, when you look at the game yesterday, you know, I'm not one of these people who tells everybody that we have a dominant defense here this year. I don't think we do. But we have a defense that, despite giving up 300 yards in the first half, they only scored 16 points.
Yeah, I get it, but still, and Mike, I appreciate the phone call. The defense, I had a lot of issue with yesterday. Especially, you want to look at the second half. There shouldn't be a collective effort in which they were able to just dance and skate all over that line. And the running game, you want to take away that one big run early on from the kid, that's fine. But even still, you look at a couple of big runs that Rawls had to kind of move the chains and move the pile, and it's not even so much yardage, it's just when these things are happening. And it's the opposite of the bend but don't break. Whatever the opposite is, that's what you see a lot with the Eagles' defense, especially on the road, and that kills you. Vic's next up on the Fanatic. What's up, Vic?
Hey, Anton, always good as usual, man, to get on with you. Listen, man, there's a lot to be said, you know. I hope Howie Roseman is taking notes and watching and realizing all that the work that needs to happen in the offseason. And, you know, the reality for me is I circled this game as a litmus test for us. You know, I really, you always want to see what you do against the elite in football. And for me, I saw a team that obviously got exposed with needing some more talent. But we still have to get that identity, that grit, you know, that emotional passion. Once upon a time, with certain plays happening, you know, people get upset. People would generally go, you know, you cannot allow that to happen, you know, on defense I'm talking about. And so I didn't see that. I'm looking for that identity, and we still haven't arrived there yet. And it's hard to see it. It's hard to watch this team because you're trying to watch a team evolve, and you know it needs pieces to evolve. You know it needs certain – but you're also saying, do we have that identity? And you know, I really do think Peterson needs to sometimes call players out a little bit more and hold people accountable for certain things and at least establish that culture. You know what I mean? That culture of accountability.
And I think you can do that via – you don't necessarily have to do it through the media. And you don't have to be a big, bad, tough guy with your words to the media. But you could sit somebody. You can definitely bench somebody and make a statement that way.
But we don't have players on this team that seem like they're willing to approach – another player, or you know what I mean?
Yeah, that's a good point. Well, Malcolm Jenkins, and I think you're starting to see that crack where he just
to have players. When you watch the Seahawks, Sherman and all these guys, they hold other players accountable, and you know what? They demand it. It's not an if or a but or maybe. You got to be accountable, and that culture of winning has to develop.
Well, you say culture, and my argument, Vic, would be not against you, but in this conversation would be. Sure. Somebody find me a team that has those type of players who are leaders that don't have a head coach that has instilled that culture, right?
It's true, but you got to get – but that's why we have to also get the type of players in here that will kind of help foster that. Because I tell you what, talent help.
I think we lost you, Vic. But that's the point. Yeah, you move forward in that scenario. 610-632-0975. Always good to chat with Vic. Let's do that with Sean. Who's next up with Eitan Shander? Sean.
How's it going, Eitan?
Good, buddy. Thanks for the call.
Good. So, you know, I don't want to beat the receivers to death. I think that's been kind of point proven here on the station today. But one thing that I wanted to talk about was, you know, we knew that the team had some mediocre talent in some key areas coming into this season. Rookie quarterback, rookie coach, wide receiving core. I guess the great equalizer, though, for any of those situations would be a football team that has discipline. And that's, you know, lack of penalties, ball security, some of the things that we wanted to get away from with the Chip Kelly era and, you know, kind of going back to the Andy Reid days where we would be one of the least penalized teams in the league before we were a dominant team. And I'm a little disappointed in the fact that that's something that seems to be, you know, kind of shooting us ourselves in the foot just as much as just the lack of talent as well.
I agree. I agree with you 100%. And I don't know if... what the easy fix is. I don't know if it's coaching. I don't know if it's accountability. I don't know what the easy fix is. But what I do know, Sean, is that that's the pattern. You know, you want to look at a bad break or a bounce or a turnover. The pattern in all these losses is that they've been so undisciplined and they've just piled up penalties. Some discipline, some just lack of talent penalties. But that's the bottom line, penalties.
Yeah, I mean, it's. I think, again, it's what makes this team so frustrating and why these close games that we lose, if we lose a close game in a hard-fought match to Dallas or to Seattle, I can see that. But when you have a 56-yard touchdown called back for an illegal formation and you have a 40-yard run called back for a holding penalty, it's really killing this team. And, again, I don't know the easy fix either, but I think that's what makes these losses hurt that much more with the, you know, with this team just not having that kind of mental fortitude to be able to push through some of these more tougher challenges from a, you know, following the rules perspective.
Great call, Sean. Appreciate it. Now, I wonder, just thinking out loud here, Devon, think about this. How I would imagine if there was even a way to find this out, that the Eagles would be number one in the league or right there in the top of the league with drives that have been killed, like a third down penalty and drops. Right? Penalties that have killed drives and drops that have killed drives. Specifically, right, third downs. I would bet that they lead the league. They're right there at the top of the league. I mean, they just make bad mistakes, terrible mistakes at the worst time. And then, to make matters worse, they don't have talent in key spots to overcome it. You put out the talent that the Cowboys have at the receiver position, and you have a couple of false starts, you have a couple of DPIs. It's a lot easier to overcome that because you're not dealing with the low level of talent that Carson Wentz is throwing to. Brad's next up on the Fanatic. What's up, man?
What's up, man? How you guys doing?
Good, buddy. Thanks for the call.
Quick call for you. My question is for you, and I'm curious to hear what your insights are. At what point?
Well, you're not coming to me for insight, right?
Well, I mean, a little bit. At what point do we stop pointing fingers at Aguilar? I mean, the guy's been with us for 2 years. He's been obviously under Doug's watch for over half a season. Why is he still starting? Like, if he's not mentally there, his most recent interview cannot be the first time that the organization had doubts about where his mental, I guess, ability was. You know what I mean? I mean, all that money invested in the players, the organization, I think the finger should be pointed at Greg Lewis, Doug Peterson.
Here's the thing. I'm not going to point the finger at Greg Lewis so much yet. I don't know how much he can coach out of Aguilar. He is running routes. He's just not there. There's a disconnect, Brad, as far as catching the football. I don't know how much Greg Lewis can coach out of that. Now, Doug Peterson, and this is what I said at the start of the show, it's an injustice, it's a disservice to the fans if Nelson Aguilar is playing. I would say if he's even active on Monday night at this point. I'm with you. He should not be on the field anymore. Now, you want to go back retro and think, at what point should they have figured this thing out? I'm with you, too, that it should not have taken this long, but you are talking about a first-round pick, and teams don't give up on him on first-rounders that quick.
Oh, I'm not. I love him. I mean, at this point in time, I don't like him starting. I love him, though. And I think that they're just worried about the repercussions of cutting a first-round pick as a brand-new rookie coach for the team. I think they're afraid of what that might look like. But again, I mean, they had to have known week two, week three, after the bye. I mean, this kid can't play right now. Doesn't mean he can't play at all in the future. But where does it stop?
Well, I think you're right. And good call, man. I think you're right to say you should start to shift the finger pointing and start to shift the blame away from Aguilar because he is what he is. And I think that's why people empathize. I think that's why you have people that feel sorry for him because they recognize that the expectations for him taken in the first round and all those things, he'll never live up to because he's just not that type of receiver. Great job, Devon, producing the show. All right, here's what we have tonight coming up. The Sixers host the Heat. And following the Sixers, we'll break into Monday Night Football so you hear the Raiders hosting the Texans. And I am back tomorrow morning with Anthony on the morning show. Until then, let's go. JoJo the Rook. Thanks again. Eitan Chen on the Fanatic. Hey, guys. Another weekend of great football. Plenty to talk about in both college and the NFL. And yes, you had your no-brainers, but there were a few surprises. If you picked the winners, I hope you went to mybookie.net. I've been telling you about this and placed your picks. You would have taken home some big wins. Now, we got Monday Night Football, Houston at Oakland. Who do you like? It's time to go to mybookie and place your pick. If you want to put your football knowledge to use and take home some big wins, you need to go to mybookie. If you have the picks, why not win by going to my bookie and put down your picks? Can you imagine just blurting it out at your buddy's place? All right, Oakland's going to crush them tonight. And then it happens, and you didn't go to my bookie. The industry-leading website. Can you imagine that? Where thousands of guys go to place their picks and win big. If you're new to placing picks, then MyBookie is the place to go. It's easy, fast, and their service is the best. The easiest thing you'll do today. Still have a game tonight. Houston at Oakland. Get in on the action. Why wait? Sign up at MyBookie. Don't go anywhere else. Go online at MyBookie to open an account. Go to MyBookie. Use promo code Fanatic. That's promo code Fanatic. Sign up and start winning today at MyBookie.